Gregory Campbell of Mangawhai, New Zealand.
Kia ora!
What? What's the time?
No. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yeah, I never really thought about that.
Yeah,
so you know, double meaning. Did you know that in Maori and Spanish, the word mai is... not Spanish, Costa Rican. You know in Costa Rica you say, hey mai.
Yeah,
it's hey man.
It's like, brother.
In Maori, it's, I believe it's the same.
Similar, get out.
Mai. Yeah, like a colloquial man. Hey bro, hey friend. Hmm.
I'm trying to think I
learned that when researching the haka to do in Costa Rica.
Oh, like for a performance for...
Yeah. Do you remember that? It was in front of the whole AFS, everybody at the end of the year.
That was the fun little times when I got so addicted to coffee that I could not... Yeah. Do you see lots of hakas at weddings?
Not that many. Maybe like 3 or 4 a year.
Is it... this is an ignorant Australian asking this question.
Sure.
But is it... Why would a haka be done at a wedding? Is it because the groom and his family are Māori? Like, is there any other reason why they would...
You know? You don't have to be Māori, but you'd have close ties with the local Māori community, or you grew up with a bunch of Māori friends, or... a haka is just a really powerful way of, celebrating the moment and sort of celebrating that strong bond between all the boys. Mm. It's and when it happens, it always moves, moves me.
Oh yeah,
always.
It's an extremely powerful thing to watch and be near when that's being done. It's incredible.
When you're a little kid in New Zealand, you learn about the haka, and the one thing that they always say is if you're gonna do a haka, it's not so important that you get all the moves right. The most important thing is you give it everything.
I remember you telling me.
Have I told you that?
And you can see you can see on the faces of people. Even the reason I asked about weddings is there was something circulating on Facebook about some Māori guys who did a haka for a bride and groom. And looking at these guys' faces, I was like, oh my God. The white dudes, the guys who maybe they were part Māori, but they didn't look very strongly with a Māori background, but they were getting into it so much and it was awesome.
That's all you gotta do.
And you watch
and then don't stand at the front if you've never done one, stand at the back. But then still give it every eyes, the whole thing,
and waggling your tongue around.
Everything, and that's all you got to do. And if other Māori people see you doing that, you're in. They'll give you the old E.
So whenever you're when I come to New Zealand, rock up at the airport, I should just come out doing a haka, full on. And
they're
look at that guy.
Yeah, people would honestly be like, he's
a legend.
He's really going for it.
Wonderful country that New Zealand is.
Hey, so speaking of wonderful things, I just got all new shocks in my Subaru.
What have you had to replace since you got it?
Oh, God. Well, I paid bottom dollar. I paid $4,000 for a car that on its best day in good condition would be worth maybe $9,000 or $10,000. And I've since had the whole engine pretty much rebuilt.
Wow.
And new shock absorbers and new stereo and roof racks and tow bar.
But it's running well now.
It's great now. Yeah. I bought it knowing that stuff probably needed to be done. So it's not like I've been agonizing over it.
No.
And every car I buy gets a new stereo and usually roof racks and a tow bar.
Of course.
So I don't really factor that in as a cost. That's just kind of just what it is when you buy a new car. But I'm very happy with the car. Now with the do you put a new stereo in your car, right?
Yeah, man, this is and first, it was a, first thing
a,
I do
a Pioneer.
Yeah, it's a Pioneer. Yeah,
that's such a good brand for stereos.
The head unit is a Pioneer up with the big one with the CarPlay connection. Did you get that as well?
No, I spent very little money on a stereo because the stereo the speakers and everything were just sounding horrible. And I didn't know if getting a new stereo would fix that. I really was a bit worried that a new stereo would then mean it still sounds crap, like new everything. But no, so I spent a little bit of money on a new stereo. Actually, okay. Also, in my model, in yours and mine, you've got to get like an adapter plate. Is that right?
Fascia.
Yeah.
I did not because my car came with a sat-nav unit.
Yes.
But I know what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. So in New Zealand, man, those things are over $600 just for the fascia plate.
Oh, geez. Wow.
Yeah. So
like 20, 30 bucks or something.
Yeah. For Kat's car, a Suzuki, it's $40 for the fascia. Mind the guys importing them from Japan and they're $600, but
that's ridiculous.
They're $200 and something US in the States. So, I mean, they're expensive.
They're made out of Kevlar or something.
Anyway, so what I actually did is I took the back out of the stereo, the existing one, took all the like mechanics out, and then cut a hole in the front and put a new stereo in. Because I'm like, well, if I screw it up, okay, I've got to spend the $600 or import one from Japan.
Yeah, you're no worse off.
Like, you know? Yeah, exactly.
Except and you may have saved some money.
I did a pretty good job, so
it works,
yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah, and you didn't have to get new speakers.
I did go ahead and get new speakers as well, but only because I put the new stereo in and I was like, "Yes, this is fantastic," and I'm gonna put new speakers in. So like,
did you get an amp, a sub, and stuff?
Yeah, I had all that from my previous car. Okay. So it's got a sub, all new speakers, components in the front, right. All new. Like,
What kind of speakers did you go for?
I just went all Pioneer.
All Pioneer, very good.
Normally, I shop around and I try to get speaker brands that are a bit more exotic, but
yeah.
These are great. Pioneer's good, man.
Yeah, man, they're awesome, man. There you go.
I had like a 5-hour round trip to my wedding a couple of days ago, and it was just like the christening of the new stereo. Just cranking it. And this is the first stereo in a car I've ever had where it's got Bluetooth for calling built in. And so you just push the button on the dash, talking normally. It's really nice.
I know, it's boss. I know. I find myself listening to so many podcasts though when I'm driving, not as much music as I used to, which is it's good, but I'm not taking advantage of the stereo as much as I might be with me. Actually, that's going to lead to one of my snapdown topics pretty soon.
Well, do you want to just go for it?
I do. So are we entering Snapdown?
We have entered the Snapdown.
Snapdown zone. Do you want me to go first?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, if your cameras have an updated firmware released, even if you read the notes for the firmware and you think to yourself, oh, that's not... Because the firmware, often when they release firmware updates, they'll tell you what it's for. They'll be like, it fixes this problem and it fixes this problem. You might look at it and think, oh, none of those things apply to me. So you just don't update it. And I highly suggest that you update the firmware on your cameras, even if you don't think that the issues fixed have anything to do with you. I just updated the firmware on both of my 5D Mark IVs. And they're honestly like new cameras. Like none of the things they fixed really... Like none of the things they listed as being issues they resolved really applied to me at all. Like one of them was for video or something. But the autofocus is so much snappier and more true. I should say. Yeah. So that's my first little tip is if your cameras have firmware updates available, I highly suggest you update. Not you, Greg, or you too, but you know.
Well, I'm guilty of that.
Me too.
When I was using those 6Ds, they had different firmware, like one had the update and one didn't for ages.
That's been me
so
well.
Yeah, I was just lazy.
Well, it's easy to do. If you don't know how to do it, it's super easy. You can Google it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my first little thing.
Nice.
Next is I've been using this really good app called it's an Instagram planning app. In my pursuit of trying to be better with Instagram, I've been planning my feed. So I've been like uploading the photos to this app. What the app does is gives you a number of squares where you can move around your posts before you upload them to Instagram. So you can see how they look ahead of time. So you can plan it's called Planoly. It's Planoly. Planoly. I've been having some good success with that.
So tell me about like how does it go from what do you say? Woe to go or go to woe?
You mean like what's the procedure?
Yeah, yeah. What's the workflow?
Well, you just... what do you mean? Like...
okay. Can you kind of queue up a whole bunch of posts and then it releases them?
You can do scheduled posts if you want to. Oh, yeah. Like you can say release this one tomorrow, this one the next day. Or you can just do it manually. I do it manually. It's simply to view how they'll look ahead of time next to each other. So you can figure out like if this color looks good against this color, this texture works with this one.
Do people use that when they... Is there an app out there that means you can do like a 3x3 image in your Instagram feed?
Probably. I don't know.
It's not that one though.
It's not that one.
Okay.
No, it's not that one. It's simply... I mean, you could say it's like kind of pointless if you're the type of person who just puts this photo up and doesn't really kind of care what the feed, what the grid looks like. You just want like put up a photo that you like. But I'm trying to make the grid look, pleasing.
Yeah. Okay, like, cool.
Dark light. Not have two similar colors too next to each other.
Nice.
The last thing is I mentioned the podcast that I've been listening to. So I'm absolutely addicted to this podcast called Case File. Ooh. Case File True Crime. I think that's what it's called. I'm just going to double check. Case File. Yeah. Case File True Crime. So it is an Aussie guy and he's definitely Aussie. He can't, like, if you hear him talk, he's like, he's like, on the 23rd July, 1972. It's awesome. And I think he has a small team that works with him, but it's very well produced and very well recorded. He's got, you know, great mic set up and whatever, very, very well executed. And he and his small team pick a true crime or something that's happened. Some of them go back, say, 80, 90 years, but most of them are relatively recent. So the last 10, 15 years, most in Australia, but many from around the world. And he'll just talk to you about what happened. So he'll narrate it in a really nice way so you really get into it. Talk to you about what happened, the lead up, who the victim was or victims, what occurred, and then what happened afterwards, like how the police went about finding the suspect, whether they found the suspect or not, what happened in court, you know, whether the person was convicted. But it's just and all through the background there's this awesomely eerie music. So, when I drive home at night, like down a really like dark, secluded road, I'm listening to this podcast. I'm like really packing it because like there's a killer on the loose or something. It's awesome for long drives.
Sweet.
Yeah.
I have to get into those. You told me about a podcast you listen to and it's more like fantasy, outer space, future stuff. An audio book, I think, not a podcast.
Oh, yeah, I listened to a lot of those too.
I have to get some of those off you because they sounded really
so
good.
So good, man. I love nerd audiobooks.
After we've hung up off this, I'm going to ask you all about those.
All right.
I've kind of not really... I thought I had a snap down, but it's not really a snap down. So I'm just going to skip it for this week and just go, yours are so good. Who cares?
Oh, really? It says not a legitimate snap down?
Nah, not really.
Let's skip it.
Yeah, so you mentioned that there was some thing you want to talk about?
Yeah. Let me just consult my... Okay. Tell me this, Greg.
Mm-hmm.
When someone books you to shoot their wedding, so they pay you a deposit. Oh, I hope I haven't talked about this already. How involved are you in the planning of the day in terms of how the day's structured? So...
It varies. I'm hands off, as in I don't volunteer myself. Like I don't give a lot of advice, but if asked, I'll give as much advice as I can. So often when I meet a couple, a good example would be, because a lot of times I don't meet the couples when they book me. It just comes over email, and if I haven't actually met them, I don't automatically offer a lot of advice. I do sometimes send a little link to my website, a page on my website where I have like a few handy hints and tips and stuff. People reply and they say they appreciate that. So if someone just emails me, I kind of just let it go. But right then, like there'll usually be a phone call or a meeting just before the wedding.
Mm.
usually a phone call. And at that point, I'll kind of try and help them out if there's anything that's, you know, in limbo or a bit of time. Like if they say, oh, it's a 3 o'clock ceremony and a 5 o'clock dinner or something, I'm like, okay, let's talk about this a little bit, see what we can do. Now, if I meet them in person and we have, you know, a proper meeting before they book me, that's the time when I will usually talk through the day with them, give them advice, give them all those, like, stupid things that we know from every wedding, but they would not know.
Yeah, because they've never been married before, yeah.
Yeah. Is that the answer you were kind of looking for?
Well, that's definitely the... well, yeah, I guess. So, I do things a bit differently. As soon as someone pays me a deposit, in the same email that I send them a receipt, I will say, do you need help with... Are there any recommendations you need, like florist or celebrant? Mm-hmm. And I'll also say, can I send you a... some suggestions about how you should set up the timing for the wedding.
Yeah,
because
right.
Because I've just had so many occasions where it's the middle of summer and the ceremony's at 2 p.m. and everyone's just like sweating and hot, mm-hmm. and I have to try and shoot really beautiful portraits at 3:30 p.m. and it's the sun's still at really high. So a few years ago I decided to be really active in helping with the timing. And it's been really good. So 95% of people, I pretty much do exactly what I suggest, like to the absolute, I don't know what word I'm looking for.
To the letter, to the time, whatever.
So if I suggest to them, I tell them this is sunset and the best light is going to be here this time. And to take advantage of this light, I suggest you have the ceremony at this time, finishing at this time. And then at this time we go off for our portraits. And if it's a midsummer wedding, I say, I suggest you set aside 20 minutes at the reception so I can steal you away for some sunset photos. Right. Yeah. Now, the reason I'm getting to all this is I've actually decided that's not enough for me.
Oh, okay.
I've had a lot of weddings recently where, so I usually start my advice from the ceremony time, but I've had a lot of times recently where I've turned up to, for example, to the bride getting ready and, and this is no fault of anyone, absolutely no fault of hair and makeup artist or any particular vendor, just I haven't coordinated properly what I would like with people, and so people have decided we'll do this thing at this time. So for example, I've turned up, hair and makeup is not finishing till a bit late, and so by the time the bride's getting into her dress, I have to like pretty much be leaving to go and set up at the ceremony or go to the boys or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I had an incident recently where someone was not, I don't think it was an issue, but I realized that I didn't take a photo of the bride just with her mum. So I had every other family photo that I needed. But, and then I thought to myself that maybe what I'm doing isn't good enough. It's really nice to take good portraits and beautiful sunlight and sunset, but this bride just wanted a photo with her mum. And she had one with her mum and her dad, but didn't have one with her mum.
Okay.
And so what I've been thinking and what I wanted your opinion on is it maybe a good idea for me or us or whatever to consider being a bit more involved in saying to the bride, I suggest you have, this is if we're shooting, getting ready photos, saying to the bride, I'd love to do half an hour of some portraits with you before I leave your house or wherever you are getting ready. I suggest you try and have your makeup done by X and Y, makeup and hair. And then get your dress on at this time, giving us this half an hour time. And then that would mean that I would never miss a shot like just the bride and her mum. Which like I know, again, it's not a massive deal. You know, she has one with her mum and her dad. But I don't know, man. Do you know what I mean? I never want to think someone looks back and thinks, oh, I really wish I had a shot. And it's a mum. It's not like it's the third cousin removed. It's, you know, a pretty important person in her life. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I think you run the risk... Well, it's a double-edged sword. You run the risk of being coming off as being too controlling. But, you know, that's the negative. But the positive is you're going to get all those great shots. Do you reckon that if you said to them, okay, let's say it's a 3 o'clock ceremony and they know they have to leave by 2:30 to get there on time. You would, in that situation, recommend that at 2 o'clock they're all done, or something like that, maybe 1:45, all done.
Something like that, yes.
You'd love to get that 30 minutes in of shots.
This is what I'm thinking of, yeah.
My concern would be that you'd send the email and they'd be like, yeah, all good. But then that 30 minutes would still be the buffer. So if anything was delayed, they'd just eat up that 30 minutes. And
you're absolutely right.
And you'd probably just come away frustrated, and the bride would just be like, I'm really sorry. Like, what can you do?
No, that's totally true. However, even if it worked 50% of the time, even if it worked 60 or 70, it's still... Because I find when it's super rushed and I'm leaving just as the dress goes on, I don't remember. Like, in my head, I'm not like ticking off my mental checklist. Do I have a photo with just her mum? Because I'm thinking about, I have to go get a park over there and run over there.
There's a bigger picture, yeah.
Yeah. So...
How do you feel about this one? Maybe you already do this. Maybe everyone already does this. You say in your email, you know how you said you send that email with your receipt?
Yeah.
Do you say anything like, are there any must-get shots?
I don't. I ask something similar to that closer to the wedding.
Okay.
So it's kind of more fresh in their mind. But I think I see what you're getting at.
Yeah, because if the mum thing was super, super important, like I was just saying to you before we started recording, I had a bride that having a shot with her dad walking down the aisle was super, super important to her. Mm. Those kinds of shots, it's nice to know for us before the wedding that they're super, super important. I think we just talked about this recently because I remember saying, but where do you draw the line? Like, suddenly you're going to get a bride that's like, here are the 1,000 must-get shots. Mm. So... But would that solve anything for you? Like, but you still want to have that time. Yeah, I can sense it.
What I've found is that often a bride or a groom doesn't know what the must-get shots are. Because the shots that are important to them aren't... Like, they trust us to make those calls and to know what they need, what we need to deliver to them.
And how many times do they say, that's a must-get shot, and then you get to the moment when... And they're like, actually, no, we don't really care about that shot anymore.
That's like me with group shots. They're like, oh, you want a group shot? I'm like, okay, I'm gonna lay down why you don't want a group shot. And I explain all these because I hate taking big group photos. I hate it. I know you do them. You don't mind them, do you?
I like them.
I hate them. What do you like about them?
I think it's like, that's the moment when I can introduce myself and get everyone on board and like... I don't know. They always look really nice. I don't see any negatives.
Oh, wow. I don't see any positives. Like, I think in all the albums I've ever made, I've never had someone put a group photo.
Oh, no. It's not the kind of photo you show off in an album. Well, maybe. Maybe my ones, because they're so good.
Oh, my God. Okay, so that was what I wanted to ask you. I'll tell you what. I'm going to try it. I'm going to try for the next couple of... bookings I get, I'm going to try and be a little bit more I'm going to add two things. So usually I say, this is what I suggest: ceremony time, end of ceremony, start of mingling, hugging, family photo time.
Yep.
Portrait time, so with the bridal party and just the two of them. Yep. And reception entrance time for bridal party.
Sure.
So I'm going to add before that hair and makeup finish time and get into dress time. Or bride should be into dress
and
finished.
It's more like, it's like pre ceremony portraits or something.
Sure, which could be indicated by saying 100% ready by X.
Yeah,
and I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, it sounds good. Mm. I'll think about it a lot in the next few weddings. Right. My gut feeling is that time will just get swallowed up, but. I know what it's like when you've got that half an hour up your sleeve before the ceremony and it's like, whoa, such a luxury.
It's pretty nice, isn't it?
Yeah, you're almost thinking, what do I do?
What do I do? How many portraits do I need? Damn.
Yeah. Man, I hate it. Well, I don't know if I hate it, but I get frustrated sometimes at weddings when the prep time seems to go on for so long and the shots aren't quite what I want, and I sometimes dig myself a little hole where I'm like, oh, nothing's working and this isn't going right and these shots aren't looking good, and then I'm like, wait a minute, it's still prep. It's not even the ceremony yet.
And you look through your photos and you're like, ah, I'm really not doing this justice, and then you're like, hit yourself, nothing's happened yet. It's okay.
Exactly.
And at that part of the day, you're so confined by so many things totally out of your control. Like what color are the walls and what light is being thrown? How much room is there? How untidy is the area? Like, that's another big thing as well. Like, could we add in there to our advice, like, tidy the space.
Tidy your space.
Right.
Yep. How sucky is it when it's like a rainy day and they've got all the lights on inside? So you've got like blue light coming outside from outside and then yellow light inside, and then it's dark, so you're at ISO, who knows, whatever.
You can't balance them.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yep.
Nice.
That's me, man.
It's nice.
Yes.
I might ask you about what's your backup regime at the moment?
I love to talk about my backup regime.
Yeah.
Tell me,
because, yeah, I'm just kind of redoing mine, and how does yours work?
Okay. Well.
So, yeah, I just want to know what's on your computer, what sort of, like, external hard drive have you got, how do you archive or get whatever backups? You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. My backup procedure is pretty Neanderthal, but it's solid. Like, you know, it's a very simple thing. So, I don't use any, like, RAIDs or NAS drives or any high-speed, like, Drobos or anything like that. I just think they're absolute overkill. I have should I start with where the images go when I get home from a wedding, or should I just start with general backup? Okay, so I'm holding up, you guys who's listening can't see it, but I'm holding up for Greg external hard drive,
2.5,
I don't know, it's one of those small ones that doesn't require power. 2.5,
Yeah.
That's a 4 terabyte, is that right? Yeah, 4 terabyte drive. And you'll see it has written on there
15A.
So basically I have, this means I'm up to drive number 15. So obviously I started at 1. And of each number, I have A and B. So I started at 1A, 1B, and then I went to 2B, 2A, 2B, etc.
Yeah, right.
So, and I started off 8 years ago, whatever, with the big power drives, and now I'm using these that don't require external power.
Yeah, portable.
Yeah. So they're mirrored. So A and B, two identical drives are mirrored. So there's the same thing on both. And one of them sits here in my office, and the other one is somewhere else. Whether that is, I mean, after I've delivered the images, it's not as dire, but usually one's in the office and one's in the garage in case the house burns down.
Yeah.
Until I've delivered the images, one is in the office and one is in my car. And my car is obviously separate to my house as well, because I like to have one copy with me. So if I drive around somewhere, there's one in the car and there's another copy in the house. There is actually, until they're delivered, a third copy, which is on a different drive, like a working drive in my office.
Okay. But
yeah. And then that's it. I keep all my images. I keep everything, all the RAWs, even the unculled RAWs, everything forever.
So okay, let's say you want to work on for some reason you want to grab one, like drive 10A, and just take some photos from there, or maybe play with some photos, I don't know, whatever you want to do. Would you get A and B together and put them both in
just one?
And then how do you know the others mirrored it, you know?
Well, I copy to them manually. Like, they're not mirrored as in... Like, so I've copied the files manually onto this drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. And the Lightroom catalog and the preview files are on there for every wedding.
Okay, gotcha.
So I just double click on the catalog and it opens up.
Very nice.
Thoughts?
Well, yeah, that's good. No, it's pretty solid. I have to admit, it's pretty solid.
It's pretty basic, man, but it works really well.
The only thing that would worry me is that, yeah, I grab like drive 10A, play around with something, and then I'd have to get drive 10B and just copy it over.
I know what you mean, but I mean, I've delivered the files so long ago. If I'm going to play around,
kind of done.
Like, who cares? Like, if I'm gonna tweak a file, it's probably to upload to Instagram or something, and then I just export the file, and then, you know.
Yeah, and big deal. Like, let's say 10A dies. 10B is going to be there, and you might have just lost a few edits.
Exactly.
That you're never really going to use again anyway.
But I've been really lucky. I've never had a drive fail on me.
Oh, wow.
Touch wood.
Yeah, because I don't know if I said, but my master backup failed about a month ago.
I don't know if you told me that.
Yeah, it's this 5 terabyte backup drive. That's my, like, it backs up my computer, my working Lightroom catalog, all my, like, everything I'm using right now, it backs up. And
so what? It just like,
just, you know,
just age or whatever.
Just, yeah, like, just whatever, just work, just died. So it wasn't a big deal. I just got another 5 terabyte drive. And
but did you have a backup of that drive?
No, a true backup pro would say I should have had a third backup.
Well, yeah,
so that when that died, I then had a backup on the go. Okay. I was there was like a day of freaking out, but then it was fine after that. But I've just gone through the process of running a cable out to my shed from inside the house. So now my backup drive is in the shed, and that's actually awesome. Plugged in. That's like working
is that
by right now.
Ethernet, or is that just a USB
long? Yeah, USB? No, an Ethernet. Yeah, network cable. So no, that's fantastic. And if anyone wants to know, I've actually got an Apple time capsule, and I just took the drive out and updated it to a 5 terabyte drive. So it's it's really good, but I don't use the time capsule software. The Time Machine software I use, Carbon Copy Cloner.
That's a great.
And I schedule them for nighttime, so every night it just everything goes.
So, question: you also have other copies of your currently working RAW files, right?
Yes, and I do what you do, where I have two drives, and one sits in the office, and one sits in the shed.
Okay.
Okay. But what I'm considering doing is, because you can plug in an external hard drive into the back of a time capsule. Mm. So I'm considering just putting like an 8 terabyte drive in the back of it and just backing up all my other stuff to that. I'm still working the bugs out on that one. But
so cool, hey, like planning backups and how to sync stuff up. Like, it's such a nerdy thing, but it's so cool.
Yeah. I drew all these diagrams last night before I went to bed of like, oh, this goes here and this goes here. Yeah, and then I'm thinking, what have I got? Like, what hard drives have I got, and how can I streamline them, and how can I get the best use out of them? And
so the purpose of putting the backup drive in the garage is simply if the house were to burn down, there'd still be a copy out. Okay, and then if you do, what's the worst thing you lose if the backup drive dies? And is it anything, or is it purely a backup?
It's like, only a, no. It's only a backup. So
everything on it is on your computer or somewhere else.
Yep. Yeah, okay. It's a mirror of my current workstation, which is my computer and two hard drives and a little... I did your SD card trick of having my iTunes library on the SD card.
Yes.
So that's all backed up. So right now, I've got 4 disk images on that hard drive, which is in a time capsule, and they're all backed up by Carbon Copy Cloner. It's nice. It's really good, and especially through Ethernet, because it's really fast. It's a fast way to do it.
Awesome.
But the next step is I could attach an 8 terabyte or something like that drive to the back of the time capsule, and then just have an 8 terabyte drive sitting here in my office, and that could be like my archive, like you say, like your A's and B's and C's. But I don't do what you do. I know we've had this talk before, but I don't keep every file I took at a wedding. Because by the time I go to archive, like, you know, put a wedding away like that, it would be 6 months probably.
You're never going to need the...
I'm sure they would have said something to me by then.
Yeah.
Touch wood. But I haven't had any problems so far.
I did something pretty silly last night, which cost me about 3 hours. So I usually edit on my iMac and using the Lightroom catalog on the iMac SSD, right? With smart previews. So there's no RAW files attached.
Yes.
But Michelle and I wanted to watch a movie. So on our projector in our lounge room. So I was like, all right, I'll just put the catalog I want to edit on, or the two catalogs, I'll put them onto an external drive, and I'll take them into the lounge room, and I'll edit them on my laptop while we watch a movie. No worries. So I sat down in the lounge, I plugged in the hard drive with the catalogs on, and I dragged the catalogs and the smart previews to my desktop, right?
Mm.
But I left the hard drive plugged in. Mm-hmm. I then opened the catalog that I wanted to edit. I opened it from the hard drive, from the external hard drive, not the one I had dragged to the desktop.
Okay.
So I went along and I culled, which is what I was doing, culling.
Mm.
I culled... I finished half a wedding and culled a second wedding while we watched the movie. The whole time working off the external hard drive, not the ones I dragged to the desktop.
Okay,
right?
Okay, gotcha.
You can see what's coming, right?
Yeah.
Then I, at the end, I was like, sweet, done, sweet. So then I was like, okay, I don't need those ones. And I deleted all the catalogs from the hard drive, the external drive. And then I dragged the ones from the desktop onto the external drive. And as I emptied the trash, I was like, oh, shit. They were the wrong one. And of course, I have numerous backups everywhere. Like, these weren't even the original files. But anyway, so then this morning I had to recull One and a Half
That's
Weddings.
That's the worst.
Pretty annoying.
And you could have enjoyed that movie without having to like do two things.
It's actually a super stressful movie, so I'm glad I had something to distract me.
Have you seen Wonder Woman?
That's the one with Gal. She's so hot.
Gal
Gadot, or whatever her name is.
Whew, that is a wonderful movie.
Is it really?
Yeah, you need to watch it. It's a fantastic movie. And yeah, she's just insane.
Is it at the movies now? Or is it in TV? Can you watch it?
No, we watched it on iTunes.
Oh.
You know, like whatever the TV thing is, Apple TV.
I'm looking at her now. Man, she's a goddess, isn't she?
Next level. Hey, speaking of movies, I see you've got a TV in your office there.
Not only do I have a TV, can you see what's below it?
Oh, no, I see a black blob.
Yes, it's a PlayStation 4.
So does this mean no more custom PC?
Yeah, I think at this stage it means no more custom PC.
Okay.
I couldn't be bothered, man. But it was funny. I was at the beach last week with some friends, and I was just sitting there on the beach loving nature, and I was like, I'm buying a PlayStation. and then the next day I bought a PlayStation and like 5 games. So I'm currently halfway through Doom.
Oh, what? The original, or is there a new version?
It's a new one of the same line of games, but totally new.
Sweet.
Wolfenstein. So good.
What? Really?
Yeah, man. I bought it. Yeah, sick.
Wolfenstein. That's the original Doom.
Yeah, it was before Doom, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Nazi fighting.
There was something that they used to say. Was it, we're leaving? There was some...
No, wasn't that Mein Leben? It's Mein Leben. Leben, but it sounds like, we're leaving.
Oh, because I never played the game. And so as a kid, because I was a Mac guy.
Ah.
As a kid, that's what my friends said to me, like, we're leaving. But it's not that. What is it?
I think it's Mein Leben, which is my love, I believe. And so when they die, they're like, Mein Leben.
Oh, funny. We're leaving.
Is it Mein Leben? I'm just checking. Mein Leben. Everyone who's played that. Yeah, Mein Leben, Wolfenstein. Here you go. Oh, there's clips you can listen to it. I wonder if I can... Hold on.
Yeah.
Do it.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you play it?
Yeah. I don't know how to route it through my...
If you hold your
No, I'd have to hold this. Oh, yeah. Okay, hold on 1 second, right?
Yes.
Is that it?
I guess that's it, yeah.
Wow. There's awesome clips.
Funny. Oh, that's cool, man. So, do you play that network? Can you network that?
Yes, I can. I haven't yet. It's all synced up. Man, the PlayStation was like $400 and the games are all like $20 each. They're
really?
All like, yeah, it's amazing. Such and like,
did you look at plugging it into your iMac or just not worth it?
I looked at it, but I kind of wanted to separate the games section from where I work, and I've got my couch over there. So I bring that couch around, open a beer, sit there with my headphones on. Kill demons, and it's so good, man. You should get.
Yeah, we can like network.
All right.
Okay, bud. Nice. Well, should we just call it a day?
Yeah, man. There's one more thing that needs to be done before that happens, though.
I think you should. People should make their classic point and shoot games snappers. Have you got the ability to make those sounds
on my phone?
Mm.
Because I updated
still
iOS 11, the app developers still haven't updated the app.
So we've got to just do it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so good. We'll talk next time.
See you, man.
Okay, bye.
Bye.